trucking on. And I'm trucking on. Move her on down the line, another town will do me fine. I'm trucking on. I'm trucking on.
Howdy, friends, and welcome to Trucking On. I'm your host, Ward Richmond. I really appreciate you tuning in today, and I hope you enjoy the show.
James Ewing, welcome back to Trucking On.
What's going on? Good to be back.
It's great to have you here. It's a new quarter has come to an end. We're a little late like usual, but it's March, what is it? March 8th, 2024.
Hard to believe.
I know. It's about to be the end of another quarter. And we're going to go over the numbers of end of year 2023 and what happened in 2023 in Dallas-Fort Worth, the leading industrial real estate market in the world. We had an incredible year. So I want you to tell me what's going on, and I will comment.
Yeah.
How about that approach to this episode?
I like it. I like it. Well, just high level, vacancy has risen a lot. Year over year, it's come up about 330 basis points, and it's come up approximately 80 basis points in the past quarter. And I mean, that doesn't sound good on paper, but this past year, we had 63 million square feet that delivered, while we absorbed 28 million square feet, so just under 30 million square feet. So from an absorption standpoint, everything is super healthy, which means there's a lot of tenants out there still taking space. The vacancy rate just rose because of the insane amount of construction that we had. I mean, at the end of 2022, we had 85 million square feet under construction. That number is now closer to 40, and not a lot of new stuff is starting. So we have that large vacancy rate increase, but once this product that's on the ground delivers, there's nothing coming behind it.
And this product too, like when you hear about these huge numbers and huge swings in vacancy, so much of it is because huge buildings are getting built. I mean, there's 10, 15 million square foot spec buildings. These are huge chunks of space. So if you're looking for small space in Dallas, it's not the same story. Those vacancy rates by submarket and size just drastically change.
Yeah. And it's all about location too. I mean, a lot of product was delivered in South Dallas and Alliance on the outskirts of town. So, I mean, if you delivered a building by DFW Airport and GSW or Northeast Dallas, Garland, the story's a little bit different there, where you wouldn't expect your building to sit for 12 months. I mean, just given the amount of activity that's in the Metroplex, it all stems from DFW Airport and goes outward generally. So if you have a building there that you delivered in the past 12 months, you can probably still feel pretty good about it.
Yeah. So that vacancy rate from the end of Q4 22 went from 5% to 8.5% at the end of 23. Absorption numbers were really right on. Not right on, but like 33 million in 22 and then 28 million in 23. I feel like we could even surpass 28 million this year with the activity that I've been seeing in the market. I think we can. Will at least be pretty damn close to 30 million square feet, which I think is a great number. And right now we have 30 million under construction, I believe.
40.
Well, 40 at the end of Q4, but I think now
yeah,
maybe 30, like today in March. So, and that was 80 million to 50 million in that was 80 million at Q4 of 22 to 40 million under construction at the end of 23. So that's a huge drop. And that's really due to interest rates and there not being any money really available for speculative construction that makes sense at least. So you can go make sense of the deal. And I think that is a good thing. So I want to see these just for getting creating equilibrium in the marketplace, so we don't see these insane numbers of 80 million and 30 million absorbed. You know, like I want to get it closer. I think that makes for a healthier market.
Yeah, I mean, and not to talk like a broker, but I feel pretty optimistic about DFW as a whole. I mean, just talking with all of these landlords and different brokers, it's not just our team that's seeing all of this activity. It's everywhere in the Metroplex. And then you just did the update with Cole, but then you go out to LA and there's all of these subleases that have hit the market at 100,000 square feet where we're not seeing an insane amount of sublease space hit the market. It's pretty healthy sublease vacancy.
And we're not going to talk about the DFW office market, but I know that our office market is also leading the country in terms of activity. And I think that's a function of people moving here. Headquarters are moving here. Goldman Sachs was the last really big headquarter move, moving a ton of people with high paying jobs here that buy a lot of product from Amazon. And the more people that move to Texas, to North Texas, that's where people want to build the warehouses next to the people. So our population is growing so quickly. I mean, you've lived here, you grew up in Pittsburgh. So you moved here, when, 5 years ago?
Summer of 2019, so it's been almost 5 years.
Yeah, so you moved to Dallas when Dallas was a global city. When I grew up here, it was not a global city. It was just a regular city. And I mean, now I think the traffic rivals Los Angeles traffic, in my opinion, if you get out there. I try not to drive in traffic.
Yeah, not looking forward to this drive back to downtown from the east side of the lake.
Yeah, it's not good.
Yeah, but I mean, also there are sectors of this vacancy that it doesn't really tell the full story. So, I mean, you have, it ebbs and flows, but right now, if you have a million square footer on the ground, there is a ton of activity. If you have anything in like the 500 to 750,000 square foot range, we had a happy hour with a landlord yesterday, and that size range feels really good. Between 100 and 300,000, which is a little strange, it seems to have gone pretty quiet. And then anything under 100,000, I mean, they're not building anything that size, so it's still a dogfight to get space.
There's nothing available. And by the way, you should not be in that big of trouble in the traffic because no one's driving east to west right now.
Time will tell.
At the end of the day. The morning, you'd be in trouble. So welcome to the east side, homeboy. And yeah, so there are a lot of big deals in the marketplace. We had our Colliers Industrial meeting here last week, and they said that there's like 10 real million square foot deals in the market. I know Amazon signed a new million square footer, a 3-year deal in Fort Worth. And I've been told that they are doing this basically to just be prepared for a lack of space in coming years. And they want to be positioned so they have a million square feet. They don't necessarily need it to be operational. This is hearsay. I have not heard this from Amazon directly or anything, but I heard this is just a proactive move so that they have a million square footer ready to rock as this vacancy gets absorbed. And then Google has signed 1 million square footer and then supposedly gonna do another one for storing data center products. So data center space is landing all over Texas really and in the Metroplex. If they can get the power to their sites that they need, and we're not doing data center deals, so I don't know all those specs that are involved, but there's a lot of data center activity. So Google signed a lease, and I heard it was a 5-year lease with the out at 3 years. So it's interesting, these million square foot deals, pretty short terms on them with the flexibility to get out at 3 years for both Amazon and Google. But then supposedly they're going to take down another million. Then you have these solar panel companies. Trina Solar was the biggest deal that got done last year, or maybe ever.
Yeah, biggest spec building in Texas, I believe it was. It was 1.35 million square feet that Champion Partners built, and Trina Solar took that down, and then we had another million square footer that's supposedly signing in South Dallas. That's a solar panel group from China, so we have a lot of that activity. And then Canadian Solar's deal on the east side, they signed at 765,000 square feet, and that became official this past quarter. So, I mean, we have a lot of that activity coming from these solar panel groups.
That's interesting. And Post signed a 1 million square foot deal, but they took Smucker's out of 1 million square feet basically, and then because they bought Smucker's. Is that right?
Yeah.
And then Post signed another 1 million square footer. I don't know who else is signing 1 million square foot deals. They're mostly code names.
Yeah, I mean, DrinkPak signed 2 million square foot deals, so they signed 1.2 million square feet in Alliance. And then they did a build-to-suit with Rob Reiner and Clarion down at Carter Park for 1.4 million square feet. And, I mean, that's just a beverage manufacturer.
Let's talk about rental rates. So Dallas rental rates have been growing massively throughout the whole post-pandemic boom. And what are you seeing in terms of rental rates now, in terms of growth? And then what are those numbers looking like?
Yeah, so, I mean, on the big box side, I mean, it's this time last year it was at about, I mean, the average rate was just over $5.50 a square foot. Now it's just under $6.50 a square foot. So, I mean, 1 year's time, that's a 20% increase. I don't think we'll see that number year over year this year. I think rental rate growth is flattening out a little bit. I mean, it's still growing, which is just kind of hard to explain to your tenants where these 80 million square feet was under construction, 60 million delivered. There's this vacancy increase, and then rates are still rising. I still think, I mean, it's going to rise at a more reasonable pace.
And basically that's occurring because these landlords are just holding on and sticking to their pro formas as long as they can, I would imagine. And however patient their money is, they'll do it.
Yeah.
And then, you know, if you have a lower basis in a building, then you can go cut a deal right now too. And it's easy to do that. And we've seen that happen.
Yeah, I mean, South Dallas, for example, I mean, there's it was 21 million square feet of big box space came online last year, and 11.6 million square feet was absorbed. So it's not like anything's not happening right there, but that's 10 million square feet of extra vacancy that came onto the ground in the big box market, where if you have the real opportunity is if you have a local or a merchant developer that was started a project in 21 or late 21 and 22, and it delivered early to mid last year, where they're carrying all this interest. That's the type of group that's going to give you a deal.
Yep. So interesting times. Everyone talks so much shit about South Dallas, but it seems like South Dallas is booming.
Mm-hmm.
South Dallas is winning lots of big deals. And what other big deals? We talked about the million square footers, but
yeah, I mean, Canadian Solar was another one that we talked about, and then Pepsi Frito-Lay signed 515,000 square feet in Mountain Creek, and then Kuka Furniture signed 505,000 square feet in Mountain Creek. So those are the big deals. I mean, there's if you go from like 300 to 500,000 square feet, there's probably another 10 to 15 deals that have gotten done there. So a lot of new deals going on in that size range, but those are the top five big ones. So you have DrinkPak that signed 2 deals for 1.4, 1.2, Canadian Solar at 760,000, Pepsi Frito-Lay at 575, and then, or at 515, sorry, and then Kuka at 505.
I should have really talked about this on my episode with Cole, where we covered North America, but, the investment sales market last year in the U.S., it dropped off to a third of what it was the prior year. So there was just a huge slowdown in people buying industrial property. But because of that, I think there's a lot of money sitting on the sidelines right now. And we're about to see that unleashed this year, probably mid this year. I bet we start seeing a lot of big deals happening. That's what I'm told, at least. I think there's a lot of just money that's been sitting there that hasn't been able to buy industrial, that have typically bought industrial. And I think there's a lot of multifamily money that's moving away from that, and they want to get into industrial. So that's stacking up on the sideline. So I heard last year, if buildings were getting taken to the market for investment sale, there might have only been 5 offers on these deals. And now the number of offers on recent deals that have come to market, I heard, are like in the 20s. So that should be interesting to see how these buildings trade and how that might impact rents to people getting in and buying these buildings. But I mean, I think rents are just going to stabilize probably for the next 18 months, and then they're going to start going back up again.
Yeah, I mean, if you're able to get your hands on land right now and build and deliver in late 25, early 26, I think you're going to be pretty well positioned, just because there's nothing coming behind this run of construction. We were in our industrial meeting, and our head of research said that in Q1, and this was as of a couple of weeks ago, only 1.4 million square feet of new starts. So really nothing.
Yeah. That's just one deal for Jeff Swope and Steve Midori at Champion Partners, our good friends and mentors.
One hell of a deal.
What's up? What's up to the Stream team for getting that baby leased? What else do we got cooking?
Yeah, I mean, there were a couple areas in the Metroplex that actually had negative absorption in the big box, and they're a little surprising. So it's DFW Airport and GSW, so probably our two highest rental markets for big box. I think it's due to how quickly those rental increases happened up there and how much is available in South Dallas, or in the rest of the Metroplex. So, I mean, they went big box rates from this time last year in DFW Airport were mid sixes. Now they're mid nines. So it's just a hard rental. It's a hard increase to swallow if you're a tenant that signed a lease 5 years ago that was paying in the fours probably, to now you're looking at something in the nines. I mean, it's doubling your rent.
Yeah, and a lot of these big boxes are regional or national distribution centers. So I think labor could be argued about that it might be better labor if you get closer to DFW Airport, but obviously people are saying, screw that, I'm gonna go for half rent and go to South Dallas. So that's what's been happening. That's interesting. Yeah, talk more about the submarket. So we have talked a lot about South Dallas, like East Dallas, like Forney, Mesquite, Garland, all of that. I mean, what are your thoughts there? I hear people talking shit about East Dallas too in terms of slower levels of activity.
I mean, the numbers say that too. I mean, in East Dallas, there's only about 1.3 million square feet of absorption last year in the big box sector compared to South Dallas that led DFW at 11.6 million and Alliance at 6.2 million.
And was 900 of that Hayes distribution? I mean, would that have counted?
Yeah, would have counted, yeah.
That would have counted with Stillwater. Podcast guest Stephen Hawley developed that building. I think actually this episode will come out before Stephen Hawley's episode, but it's coming soon, ladies and gentlemen, so get ready. What else? We just are working on a deal in the Colony, and that area is really hot. Those rents are so high, it's ridiculous. What's happening out there in that super kind of like infill North Dallas, new, beautiful big boxes, or like Valwood. And I mean, there's just not very much.
No, there's really no big box in those areas. Especially, I mean, you can't really build anymore in the Colony. And then also in Valwood, I mean, the only big box in Addison is the Good Morning Tuesday Morning site that came online. And that site, I mean, it's 600 some thousand square feet, and it's a 20 anywhere from like 20 foot to 26 foot clear building that
it's not modern.
No, it's about as far away from modern as you can get. So
it's about as modern as Tuesday Morning.
Yeah, so I mean if you're looking for big box space and you want to be infill, I mean, DFW Airport is probably your best bet. Or, I mean, South Dallas, we talk like it's 2 hours outside of Dallas. I mean, Wilmer and Hutchins, it's 15 minutes from there to downtown. I mean, that's about as infill as you can get in most other markets. And we're talking about it like it's on the outskirts of town.
I'm very interested to see what the story is, how people will talk about South Dallas, like Wilmer and Hutchins, and the whole I-20 corridor between 45 and 35, and even moving south of there a little bit, you know. In 5 years from now, I think that's just going to be infill. It's going to have to be, and it's going to be a different story. Just like Redbird, they used to call Redbird Dead Bird, and then it got absorbed and it became very high priced and very sought after by investors because it was infill. And that is a lot closer to downtown than what we're talking about, like past I-20. But still, it's just going to keep moving further and further out. Like Denton is now on the map. Forney is on the map. These places did not exist. And South Dallas is maturing, and that land is eventually all going to be gone. And you're going to have to go to Hillsboro or something. You know,
yeah. I mean, they're even building north of Denton. There's a development in Sanger, Texas, which I had never heard of till there was a development up there. I mean, it's about 15 minutes north of Denton. I mean, and a lot of the growth, like you talked about, all of these people moving here, a lot of them are moving in the northern part of the metroplex. Call it Frisco, McKinney, and even further north than there. So, I'd imagine that some additional development's going to happen on that side of the metroplex in the north as well.
Do you think you and Miranda will ever move to the northern suburbs?
No, not my decision either.
You're in the loop.
I'm in the loop. Unless I'm on a building tour, you won't see me outside of Loop 12.
I'm right there with you, my friend. East Dallas for life. Until my son graduates from high school, and then I'm going to move to a beach. Man, what a great market update. And do you have anything else to add? I think we've covered the market pretty well.
Yeah.
And we're releasing our blog next week, which highlights everything we just discussed. And I'll put a link to that blog in the show notes so you can check it out. Such a pleasure to have you back, James, young James, AKA Jimmy the Kid, Ewing. I don't know what I would do in this world without you helping me run this business that we built together, my friend.
Glad to be here and happy to be a part of the business. I'm
trucking on. Thanks so much for checking out this episode of Trucking On. If you'd like to support this podcast, you can do so by leaving us a 5-star review and by sharing this episode with your friends. Don't forget to head over to truckinon.com for book recommendations, official Truckin' On merchandise, and you can sign up for my monthly newsletter. Thanks so much for tuning in and Truckin' On. All right.
Stare into these eyes. I'm gonna tell the truth to you till I break on through to the other side. Living like I'm gonna die is the only time I feel alive. Living like I'm gonna die is the only time I feel alive. I'm trucking on. I'm trucking on.